darkness upon me that's flooded. The Islanders will kick off their season at home. Whatever home is. Is it Brooklyn, Nassau, Belmont? I don't know.
Belmont is down the road.
Maybe they've added a couple of other places since then.
Well, they considered a lot of places, but I think we're down to Brooklyn. We're going to mix in a little Nassau Coliseum, and then down the road it's Belmont. So the question is, where is our next guest based?
Yeah,
where's home base?
Let's do that. And they will kick off their season against the Predators, and Barry Trotz will be on the bench. Arthur Staple is on the line with us from The Athletic. He is the Islanders reporter. Arthur, where are you based out of?
Wherever there's a game. So I travel light with covering this team.
Thank goodness there's GPS, right? So you know where to go when it comes to this. So were you guys surprised by the news that Barry Trotz was going to be the next coach of the Islanders, or no?
Not this week. I think before Monday, when he put out the statement that he was resigning from the Capitals, I think a lot of people assumed that, you know, coming so fresh off a Stanley Cup and a parade with thousands of people crowding into downtown D.C., you would have thought that there would have been a way for them to figure out to keep him. But it sounds like it was never really a strong possibility from the cap side, and therefore he was ready to move on, and Lou Lamoriello was ready to pounce. So once that day came when Barry said he was leaving Washington, you know, the Islanders were really the only other team with a coach opening, so it seemed like a natural fit, and Lou usually goes out and gets what he wants.
Yeah, they knew they had to put their best foot forward in the offseason if they wanted to keep JT. Well, you just brought it up. I mean, when you think about what they've done in the front office, what they've now done on the bench, I mean, I would say that's putting your best foot forward, a guy who's had a lot of success up top and a guy who's had a lot of success and then just had the ultimate success on the bench. So what's next? I mean, what's the next big pitch to try to keep Tavares there, and where do you think that is right now?
Well, you know, I think tonight they've got a couple of swings in the first round of the draft, and I don't see Lou Lamoriello drafting a couple of 18-year-olds and waiting for them to develop. You know, he's definitely in win-now mode, and that's what he's told John Tavares. And obviously part of his pitch to Barry Trotz was this wasn't going to be a long, slow turnaround for the Islanders. So I think there's going to – one or both of those picks are in play, whether it's for a top-notch goaltender. There certainly don't seem to be a lot available out there, but they've got a few holes to fill, and goalie is definitely top of the list. So whether it happens today or tomorrow with some of their picks, you know, you look at Philippe Grubauer, who started game one of the playoffs, what ultimately ended in a Stanley Cup run for the Caps. He wasn't the guy in net when they won it, but he's kind of one of the bigger prizes out there. And I think Lou Lamoriello knows that's a spot they really need to fix. The Islanders gave up the most goals of any team in the last decade in the NHL last year. So they've got some room to improve and some ways to show John Tavares, even beyond what they've done, that they're pretty serious about turning this around.
Yeah, there's no doubt things on the back end are where the Islanders need to address things. I mean, there are certainly a lot of intriguing names out there. You've heard a lot of rumors about Erik Karlsson. I mean, who knows? Montreal seems to constantly be moving things here recently. You know, Shea Weber, maybe a guy. You know, I do wonder, with those two high picks, what could the Islanders put together? What would be your best bet if they were going to make a splash? What kind of name do you think we would hear?
You know, I think you could those two picks might not bring back an Erik Karlsson, but and I think what Erik Karlsson is looking for with you know, he's kind of in the situation that John Tavares was in last summer, going into the final year of his deal, and he's looking for numbers that you know, that we're going to probably see with John Tavares, 11.5, maybe even higher than that per year. I don't know if the Islanders can have two of those guys eating up space on their roster, good as they are. So, you know, maybe they aim a little lower. Maybe you see a guy like Justin Falk from Carolina, who seems to be one of many names out of Carolina that seems to be on the trading block right now. Maybe they go for broke and add some more skill up front, a guy like Artemi Panarin, who now suddenly seems to be a possibility to be traded since he's not signing an extension with Columbus. I think there's a lot of possibilities, and whenever there's a good player available, certainly in his history with Toronto and with Jersey, Lou Lamoriello inquires and Lou Lamoriello goes after it. So, you know, I imagine we're not going to hear a whole lot about what they're up to, but I think everything's on the table for them.
Give us your best assessment, because it's hard, I'm sure, to get a read on where John Tavares is coming from at this point, how much he is really pleased or intrigued with Lamoriello and now Barry Trotz, who are an interesting combination. From what I know about Lou Lamoriello, you know, and the reputation he has, and just knowing Barry Trotz the way we do here, I'm very curious as to how those two are going to work together.
You know, I think there's definitely a conception out there, and it's been proven out, I think, from his time in Jersey, that Lou has the guys that he likes to work around him, he's comfortable with. When you think about a guy like Jacques Lemaire, who worked for him a couple of times, Scott Stevens, Larry Robinson. So I think the kind of the natural thought was that maybe he would dip into his past, but I think he's also shown, you know, he's a guy who hired Pat Burns, someone he didn't have a relationship with, won a Stanley Cup with in Jersey. So, you know, and I think he knew enough about Barry Trotz to know that this was the guy that was the best person available. So I think, you know, Lou, for all of his rules and regulations that he tries to enforce, whether it's, you know, player no facial hair for the players and that sort of thing, you know, I think he's going to let the coaches do what they do, and especially a guy like Barry Trotz with the pedigree he has over the last two decades in the NHL and certainly what he did this past season, I don't think there's going to be a lot of meddling. There's going to be a lot of working together, and I think, you know, bringing them into this, both coming into a brand new situation, really, you know, I think they can put their stamp on this team. It was interesting to hear Lou say it yesterday. One of the reasons he was so interested to go after Barry Trotz was he's a guy who's had success, and there's a lot of guys in the room with the Islanders who haven't had success. And when you have someone leading your club behind the bench who knows what success feels like, it rubs off. And I think that's the sort of thing that's going to keep everybody on the same page.
We're talking to Arthur Staple. He covers the New York Islanders for The Athletic, who, of course, are in a big situation now, hiring Lou Lamoriello, now hiring Barry Trotz, and then, of course, trying to coax their franchise player into staying in John Tavares. So is there any way to get any read on how John Tavares is absorbing all of this? Obviously, the Islanders have the advantage of being able to offer him more years and therefore more money. But so what's your latest read on it now? Are you pretty confident that he's going to stay?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gone from pretty confident he was leaving at the end of the year to pretty confident he's going to stay. He's, you know, he's said all along from last offseason through this season that he's never wanted to leave. And, you know, he's not an insincere guy. He's not the sort to say that and then bolt out on the fans that he's been very loyal to and have been very loyal to him through a couple of good years and a lot of lean years in his 9 years here. So, you know, I think he has really been looking for reasons to stay, and these are two very big reasons. And I think whatever moves that Lamoriello makes this weekend will further that. I don't know if it's going to deter Tavares from hosting a couple of other teams out at his agent's office in L.A. next week. You know, I think the Leafs are very interested in making a pitch. I think San Jose is interested in making a pitch. Vegas, I don't think it's going to be a lot of teams. I think maybe even the Preds might make the cut there and be able to come in and make some sort of presentation about how he could fit with them. But, you know, I think ultimately when you think back to what Steven Stamkos did a couple of years ago where he, you know, respected the process and was curious to listen and hosted some teams, but ultimately right before free agency he decided to stay in Tampa, I could certainly see that same scenario playing out with Tavares next week.
One thing that was evident, you've talked about the goalie. The goalie is going to have to be addressed. It'll be interesting on who they bring in. But another thing that certainly was evident watching the Islanders play is the injuries to a couple of veteran defensemen hurt their chances. Are they fairly confident that, especially with Barry Trotz's reputation of the team game, the defensive game, that if they're a little healthier on the back end, that should help to go with all the offensive firepower we know they have?
Yeah, I think they certainly need to add somebody. Like you said, when the slide last season kind of coincided with injuries to Calvin DeHaan and Johnny Boychuk. Boychuk ended up coming back. He really ended up needing knee surgery when the season ended, and DeHaan had a pretty major shoulder injury that I don't think he's still fully recovered from as he goes into unrestricted free agency. So, you know, I think they need to replace DeHaan, and I think when you have situation like they have where with entirely new leadership in the front office and behind the bench, you're looking at the guys that you have in a different light. It's probably hard to evaluate, but I think Lamoriello and Trotz have been around and both been in the division and in the conference long enough to know what they have in the guys that are already here. And so I think, you know, that kind of opens up an even bigger world in terms of trades because, you know, you're thinking like, well, you know, maybe Nick Leddy's a guy who you'd think is a top pair defenseman and is a mainstay, but that might be, that perception might be different now. So I think there's more on the table in terms of assets than just these picks. And then I think that opens up a bigger opportunity to get different sorts of players in trades, whether it's this week or next week.
Last thing, Arthur, we were kidding at the beginning, but in all seriousness, what is the plans? Where are they? What is it going to look like at Belmont? When are they breaking ground? When is this all supposed to come together?
Well, you know.
Do they know?
I think, yes. I think they do. They're still doing their environmental review and engaging with the community around Belmont to try to make sure the plans are you know, fit with what the community is looking for and what the developers are looking for. And I think it's on target for to break ground next spring. They're looking to open in the 21-22 season. And until then, it's going to be a pretty even split between the Nassau Coliseum and Barclays Center, which is certainly a curious development considering when they left the Coliseum after the 2014-15 season, it certainly didn't seem like there would be any chance they'd be back in that building. And it's been upgraded a bit, and it needs to be upgraded some more before they get going. And I think that's part of the reason why when the schedule was announced yesterday that they don't play their first game in the Coliseum until December because it's not really going to be ready. They have to upgrade the locker rooms and reopen some suites and fix the ice-making facilities. There's still some work to be done in that. When you say that to Islander fans, they get a lump in their throat because they know that there hasn't been a building that they've gone to that's perfect for hockey in 46 years. So, you know, Belmont is still in the works, in the planning stages. It's going along the way that I believe the owners want it to be going. But I guess, you know, for Islander fans for sure, who are always nervous about these sorts of things, that they can't feel certain until they walk into that building in 2021.
Well, the Preds and the Islanders will play twice in a week right at the beginning of the season, and that'll be it. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Arthur, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Anytime. Thanks a lot.
Arthur Staple covers the Islanders for The Athletic. Back to wrap up the second hour next.